Ho, 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 boys, girls, and jabronis of all ages. It's the Christmas season, so I thought I'd bring some fun for you guys. I wrote a poem, and I thought I'd share it to kick off the bowl game selection show. So here it is. It's called The Night Before Bowl Season. And what better way to premiere this than episode 12 of Everybody on the Line. So here it is. 'Twas the night before bowl season, and all through the house, 42 bowl games while hundreds opt out. Mike Norvell feels robbed, and the committee won't care, with hopes that Nick Saban in Houston stands there. The sports books are nestled with parlays and full bets, while visions of hitting dance in their head. Jim Harbaugh seems thirsty, and Big Blue is a mess, so just go all in before a penalty of death. Rose Bowl and Sugar, the best of the best. Michael Penix was robbed, and the Pac-12 laid to rest. So here's the top four. Let's send Bama out west. Longhorn Nation isn't back. Now let's kick it to Kevin for the rest.
Playoffs?
Welcome back to the program. Another episode.
Playoffs?
Or should I say ho, ho, ho? Merry holiday season. Per usual, I'm your host, Kayfabe Kev, Podcast Kev, whatever. Podcast Kev on Twitter, Kayfabe Kev on Instagram, wherever you see my random comments and rants on social media. That is me. That is I. Welcome to the program. This is technically episode 12 of Gridiron Jabroni. However, this is the Christmas Pick'em episode part one. We'll find a fun name for it. Very holiday themed because it's bowl season, y'all. Bowl season is here. The regular season of college football is over with, sadly. I was gone last week. Didn't really miss much. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman. Cool. Florida State was robbed. Yeah. I didn't want to. I can go on the rant. Whatever. That's over with. That agenda, that topic is passed. And we're on to bowl season. We're on to. You can't cry about it anymore, all right? We're here. Let's look at the games that we have in front of us. So that's what we're going to do on this episode. Usually. Now listen, I know I kind of promoted it like it was going to be a 3-hour live episode like I usually do. This year, I decided to stretch it out, make more content out of it. So we're breaking it down, and I want to say 3 parts, maybe 4. For sure 3 parts, because it's 3 weekends of football. So we're going to do 3 parts of bowl predictions. Today we have the first weekend of college football bowl games. Up to, I believe, the Georgia Tech game. I recorded all my predictions up to the college football playoffs. And I had it ready. It was a lot. I feel like it'd be easier to break it into a little bit. Break it in weekend by weekend. Give us more to talk about. Give you guys more to listen to and more bets. You know, give you guys a couple more bets to look into. So that's what we're going to do. This is a weird podcast episode. I just want to forewarn all you guys and gals, all of y'all. I just want to forewarn y'all about it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Because it's recorded in pieces. I don't know why I mumbled. I don't know why I stuttered there. Basically, it's recorded in pieces. I have this part right here, which we're going to just talk about what kind of going on through the week and pop culture. I guess that's the right word. Hot topics of pop culture through the week. And then I'm going to toss it over to my college football predictions. for the weekend, give you guys my bowl game predictions, talk about all those bowl games over there. And then after that, we'll toss it back to this session, which will eventually be the end of the episode, where I talk some NFL football and talk week 15 of the NFL football season as we head to the last lap of college football season, NFL football season, 4 weeks left. After this week, you'll probably figure out who's in the playoffs, who's in the hunt, and who's eliminated. You have the Panthers and the Patriots are the only two teams technically eliminated. I don't know if you saw the long stat online. Maybe I'll post it in a clip of the Cardinals. I don't know if you guys saw the stat of the Cardinals technically still in the race. After this week, they have to win this week, and they need 7 teams to lose in the next 2 weeks and 4 teams to lose out, and they need to win out. It's a comp, but technically they're still in the race. Technically, the Arizona Cardinals lasted longer than Bill Belichick and the Patriots did in the playoff race this year, which brings me up to my next point. Bill Belichick, I know you guys have heard the rumors. If you haven't, here's a quick synopsis. Apparently, since the game in Germany, Belichick, the Patriots, mutual conversation, have tried to discuss a deal, maybe at the end of the year, calling it quits, calling it the end of the Belichick Patriot era. Nothing negative. It's not anything bad. There's no bad terms on either end. I think this is kind of something they both want to do. I think Belichick's getting tired of it. I think the Patriots know it's about time to switch it up. And this is the best way to do it and keep Belichick, you know, into the Hall of Fame and all that good stuff. So that's the rumor. That's still, look, there's still four games left in the NFL season. Let's not jump to conclusions. Let's not read into the rumors. But apparently it's been kind of discussed since Germany. So let's see what happens there. Where will Belichick go? Who knows? We could just start throwing names out for fun, to be honest. The big one, the Chargers. The big one I think of off the top of my head is Brandon Staley, the Chargers. Staley just got fired, finally. That Thursday night game, don't know if y'all watched it, didn't miss much. It was an ass-whooping. The Raiders looked good. The Raiders looked like a good NFL team. If you didn't know football, if you don't know ball, and you just turn that game on for the first time, you think the Raiders are one of the best teams in the league. It's about time he's gone. So, Belichick to L.A.? Could be. You have Vegas still needs a head coach. The Panthers need a head coach. There's could be a couple more openings. AFC South, Buccaneers possibly. No, I can see the Buccaneers keeping him. The Saints, I don't know. You could throw a couple more out there. There's a lot of openings coming up. And I could see Belichick staying and coaching for a couple more years, going to another team, giving it a shot. If it doesn't work out, he retires, whatever. Goes back to New England, somewhere in the front office. So that's something to keep an eye out on for Belichick. It's still early. Like I said, I don't want to be one of those podcasts that just yaps and just blows out a bunch of hot garbage and it's not true and it's baloney. It's tabloids. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying to keep an eye out on it. We'll talk about it when it gets bigger. Belichick possibly gone could be a big one. I said it a couple weeks ago. There could be 7 to 12 openings this year. And we have, 4? I mean, Washington could be gone soon. Rivera, the Bears could fire their head coach soon. You have the Vikings who could have a firing soon. A lot of potential firings just waiting to happen. I say 12. We're going on 12 head coaching. That's my hot take. I think the biggest hot take, the thing to look forward to this upcoming offseason, the biggest thing to look forward to this offseason is that we're going to have about 10 to 12 coach openings in the NFL after this season. That's my hot take. And I don't know, man. I don't know who's next. Vrabel? Mike Vrabel, he could be gone next. Rivera, one of those two. I think Tennessee or Washington has a firing next. That's my take. That's my take. Let's see. College. Getting ready for the bowl games. I just want to say, I'm not going to talk about the Texas-Washington game today. I just want to ask if we forgot about last year. If we forgot about, what was it, the Alamo Bowl last year? Texas and Washington. Washington ended up beating Texas. This isn't like, I would be concerned for Washington if this was the first time they've met. But they've seen each other in postseason already. The same, like, kind of attitude, kind of the same team. This could be a very bad take by me, but I think Washington is more comfortable than people think in this situation. And flying out to the South, they were in Texas last year. Now they're going to Louisiana to play Texas, you know, in that home field advantage. I think they're more comfortable than we think, and I think that's something to keep an eye out on. And especially with Michael Penix, look, he got snubbed. I'm not a big fan of the Jaden Daniels Heisman, but I also say that whoever won this Heisman, whether it was Jaden Daniels or Michael Penix or Bo Nix, let's be honest, 10 years from now, they're only going to be remembered because of their Heisman commercials. We're only going to know them because of the Nissan Heisman commercials, and we're going to see them in the Heisman house. And they're going to be next to Sam Bradford, and we're going to be like, oh, I forgot Jaden Daniels was a Heisman winner. Like we do with, Sam Bradford. You know, there's those Heisman winners that you forget about. We have a couple of those. Like, who's the guy from the guy from Houston, Andre Ware? Yeah, but no offense, after his Houston run fell off, you only kind of remember him from his commercials. Matt Leinhart, if it wasn't for TV. He fell off. I'm sorry. Maybe a bad take. Might be a bad take, but Jaden Daniels will just be a commercial personality within 7 years. There it is. You heard it. But hey, what do I know? I could just be a hater. I sound like a hater, and I'll admit it. I admit that I sound like a hater. Yeah, that's it, though. That's NFL hot take, or that's my, I guess, football takes for the week. Not much. Houston. We'll talk about Houston in the NFL talk. Let's go ahead. Head it all over, or flip it over, whatever you want to call it, to the first part of my bowl selection. We'll hit this weekend, the weekend selection, the weekend slate of games, and talk some bowl games. We have a couple good ones. A couple sleepers, to be honest. The thing I like about bowl games is, and I'll talk about this later into the bowl selection, but on paper, you think you know. But once you look at the people who opt out, you can get some real sleeper picks and some real sleeper underdogs. So let's flip on over to that. Let's talk some bowl games. And then after that, we will hit some NFL. All righty, y'all. To kick off this bowl season, we have Saturday morning, the first bowl game of the bowl season, the Myrtle Beach Bowl, Georgia Southern taking on Ohio. Georgia Southern is currently the 3.5 point favorite. The over-under sits at 48.5. On paper, this is why I love bowl season, because on paper, Ohio sitting at 9-3. They look like the clear favorites over Georgia Southern, who is 6-6. But then you look into the details and you see Ohio currently has their third string quarterback starting, because quarterback one, Curtis Rourke, is declaring for the transfer portal. So he is leaving Ohio, and that leaves us with quarterback two, who is hurt. So quarterback three will get the start for Ohio on Saturday. Running back one and two have also hit the portal, as well as their key offensive line or outside linebacker in Thompson. Wide receiver 2 is currently hurt, and wide receiver 3 is currently hitting the transfer portal as well. So that leaves you with what? 2 out of 3 major wide receivers out. You're on your third string quarterback, and you have a pretty solid defense for a MAC team, but your star outside linebacker not playing. You have no run game. You have a, you know, third string quarterback starting. Wide receiver 1, Miles Cross, is out. On the other hand, you have Georgia Southern, who has no major opt-outs, and it seems like they are playing to win. The thing about bowl games I like is for small schools, that bowl games still have that 2000, early 2000s feels. The early 2000 feel that a lot of teams had for bowl games back in the day, and that's what I like about these smaller bowls, especially for like a school like Georgia Southern. Like I said, if you're on paper, you don't really know what you're talking about. You're going to pick Ohio to win that one simply off the 9-3 record. But I'm taking Georgia Southern. The 3.5 points is nice. I think 3.5 is just enough for Georgia Southern. I actually have Georgia Southern winning 24-20 over Ohio in the Myrtle Beach Bowl, and that will kick off the first game of the bowl season. The second game is the Cricket Celebration Bowl. This is the Howard versus Florida A&M University. I don't know, what are they, like the Rattlers, the Snakes, the Serpents, whatever they are. They are 11-1, while Howard Bison are sitting at 6-5. Both teams are top defensive teams in the FCS. However, Florida A&M is currently the number one team in tackles for loss, the number two team in scoring defense, and has one of the top run defenses in the FCS. Howard, however, has one of the top pass defense, the top 10 passing defense in the FCS. 5 out of the 7 last Celebration Bowls have been decided by one score, and I honestly expect Florida A&M's defense to have a bend-not-break style. Expect the first half to be pretty close, but I think Florida A&M and that defense will eventually pull away, tire out Howard, and there actually is no point total or spread yet for this game. However, I have Florida A&M walking away with this one 31-27 to win the Celebration Bowl in a high-scoring, pretty good game, because the Celebration Bowl tends to be a very high-scoring game. Keeping the Saturday games going, especially these small schools, the New Orleans Bowl is going to be Jacksonville State taking on University of Louisiana, U-La-La, for those who remember that nickname. Jacksonville State's their first year in the FBS, and man, they are on a roll. Let me tell you that. Jacksonville State currently sitting at 8-4, Louisiana sitting at 6-6. I think something to look at for not only this game, but really all the games going into the bowl season and for this whole episode, is just people missing, transfer portal absences, or just injuries, stuff like that. Jacksonville State has a receiver and 2 defensive players who will not be playing in this game. But on the other side, Louisiana sideline, 2 quarterbacks, quarterback 1 and quarterback 2, are not playing. Your running back 1 and 2 defensive personnel are missing for this game. So that's going to be a big hit for Louisiana. The team that I believe is in their 5th straight bowl game, they kind of have the home field advantage, considering this game is played in the Caesar Dome in Louisiana. In New Orleans, I'm sorry. But this game is a 1:15 game on Saturday. The point spread is currently 3 points in favor of Jacksonville State. I take that easily. I'll take that, the points, the 3.5 point spread. I'm sorry, the 3 point spread on Jacksonville State. I think this is one of those games where, you know, transfer portal bites the team, and it shows. And I think Louisiana will go down losing this game. And Jacksonville State will have their first season in the FBS as a pretty good one, finishing on top with a positive record and a bowl win at the end of the season, you know? So it's a good thing I'd have Jacksonville State on this game. Moving on to a game that the first bowl game that I'm actually genuinely excited for, and that's the Cure Bowl, the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl. Appalachian State takes on Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio finishing the season at 11-2 compared to Appalachian State's 8-5. I know if you did my quiz online, I think I got those records mixed up. Sorry about that. I'm going to go through, obviously, at the end of the Saturday slate and read off the Saturday fan votes and see what you guys think is happening. But regardless, sorry about that. 11-2, Miami of Ohio takes on 8-5 Appalachian State. Miami of Ohio coming off an amazing, amazing season. No one really expected them to come out of nowhere, win the MAC. They ended up beating Toledo in the bowl game, was an upset. Appalachian State, on the other hand, they upset JMU in that primetime game during College Game Day weekend and all that. Remember the whole shebang. Other than that, kind of an underwhelming game. They went to the championship, ended up losing to, sorry, did I say MAC? Yeah. They went to the championship game, ended up losing. What conference are they in? The freaking Sun Belt. Ended up losing to Troy, who is going to be playing Duke in a bigger bowl game, which we'll talk about later. So yeah, they ended up losing to Troy, and Appalachian State, I mean, they're kind of looking for a bounce back. Both teams aren't missing anything crazy. I mean, you can kind of look at me and say, what the hell are you talking about? Miami of Ohio doesn't have their starting quarterback. They've gotten adjusted to it by now. It's not a big deal. Appalachian State is missing their number one receiver, number two receiver, and their number one running back, I believe. But school like that, you can easily – and it's not like a huge game. You're not preparing for Alabama or anything. I think your backups and the talent around them, I think Appalachian State can fill in pretty well. As far as the game goes, I believe App State is a six-and-a-half-point favorite. I actually want to take Miami of Ohio on the spread. 6.5 points is a lot. I think Miami of Ohio has had a great season. They're missing their receiver and I believe like two at the most defensive talents. So, I mean, the odds, the Vegas has them losing simply because, I don't know, they're no starting quarterback. Appalachian State's missing a lot of their offensive core. So give me the points. I don't think they'll pull off the upset, but I think Miami of Ohio can keep it close. But Appalachian State just tends to turn it up in big-time games, and especially games on national television. So I could see Appalachian State pulling off the victory. But, yeah, give me the points from a gambling perspective. But as far as the pick goes, give me Appalachian State for that Cure Bowl. Avocados from Mexico. Moving on to the New Mexico Bowl. The New Mexico Bowl is going to feature New Mexico State and Fresno State. Both teams who have had a pretty good season that nobody noticed. Nobody noticed these teams have a pretty good season. New Mexico State coming off a 8-game losing streak that got snapped by losing in the Conference USA Championship to none other than Liberty. Liberty playing Oregon in a New Year's Six bowl game. But New Mexico State coming off of that loss in the Conference USA Championship. Before that, they were on a 6-game win streak. The coaching for that team is in phenomenal. Diego Pavia is going to be the starting quarterback for that game. He was hurt in the Conference USA game, but he should be back come the start of the game on Saturday. On the Fresno State side, they started off pretty hot, winning 8 of 9. Ended up, I believe, losing to who they end up losing to. I don't know, but they had big wins over Arizona State, Purdue. However, unlike New Mexico State, who ended the season hot, Fresno State ended the season cold, losing their final three regular season games. Their backup quarterback is entering the transfer portal. So while they still have starting quarterback Mikey Keen, if anything were to happen to him, they'd be kind of SOL. For New Mexico State, they're not really losing anybody in the transfer portal, to be honest. So it looks like really a matter of who's hot and who's not. However, a lot of people don't know this, the teams that usually enter bowl games cold have better odds than the teams who enter bowl games hot. So with that, I think, let's check real quick. I believe Fresno State, I know I put it on there on the poll online, but I believe New Mexico State is the favorite, but I am taking the underdog on this one. Give me Fresno State for this one just because I'm a big believer in, like I said, for especially these small games, 10-4 New Mexico State, they're coming off of that six-game winning streak that they just snapped. Fresno State started off hot, 8-4. Give me New Mexico State is a four-point favorite. Give me Fresno State plus 4 points. If you lose by three, it's still a win. Give me Fresno State all around, too. Just give me Fresno State on the money and give me Fresno State on the points for that one. Moving on to the – this one has a long name. Are y'all ready for this one? Moving on to the – just the Independence Bowl, but this is the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. Texas Tech takes on Cal. For this game, I got two words. Two simple words, Taj Brooks. Running back Taj Brooks is returning for next season, although he is probably NFL ready. Taj Brooks is returning, and Taj Brooks ranks fourth nationally for running backs and second in the Big 12. He has 1,443 yards this season, only behind Ollie Gordon with 1,600, Ollie Gordon being the Doak Walker Running Back Award winner this season. And Cal, we all know the Pac-12 does not play defense. Cal is one of those teams who does not play defense. The Golden Bears rank 39th nationally in rushing defense, allowing about 134 yards per game. If Taj Brooks can get going, which he might. I mean, that's the only thing really Tech had really going for them this season. So expect Taj Brooks to have another good game. 24-21 Tech on this game. Keeping the California teams going, the Pac-12 going, let's talk the L.A. Bowl. The L.A. Bowl, hosted by none other than Gronk himself, hosted by Rob Gronkowski. The L.A. Bowl features two teams who have interesting stories. UCLA sitting at 7-5 and Boise State sitting at 8.5. UCLA is a four-point favorite for this game. However, UCLA and Chip Kelly are 0-6 in bowl games since Chip Kelly started his run as head coach for UCLA. UCLA will also be missing their star defensive end, Liatu Latu, who has declared for the Moore, who was a star quarterback coming into this game a couple years ago, star quarterback in the country, who declared to the transfer portal. As far as coaching, they're also going to be missing defense coordinator Dante Lynn and quarterback coach Ryan Grunson. Boise State is entering their 26th straight bowl eligibility year. I don't know if this is the 26th straight bowl game, but the 26th straight year they are bowl eligible. Quarterback Taylen, you would say, okay, QB2, Maxie Mudson. No, he's actually out. He tore his MCL in the season. So that leaves them with QB3, true freshman McAllister, who hit the portal after just 9 games. Andy Avalez, their former head coach, was fired after a 5-5 start, but since his firing, Boise State has Mountain West champions. So, with all that said and done, Spencer Danielson, who is the new head coach, you got a new head coach, you're starting a new reign, 26 straight games. Boise State, I believe. Let's double check that real quick. Sorry, UCLA is the 4-point favorite. Give me Boise State outright at 4 points, 3.5, wherever line you're seeing it. I have it right now at 4 points. Give me Boise State underdogs. I'm taking them for the straight up win, but I'm going to bet them at 3.5 just in case. The next bowl game is a new one. New bowl alert. Replacing the, I think it's the Bahamas Bowl, we have the Famous Toastery Bowl. If you guys don't know what the Famous Toastery is, don't worry. You're like every other person in the world because it's just a simple little restaurant out in Charlotte, North Carolina. But they're sponsoring the bowl. And that's what we have. We have the Toastery Bowl. Western Kentucky and Old Dominion will be playing in that one. Western Kentucky sitting at 7-5. Old Dominion sitting at 6-6. For Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers, very disappointing 7-5 season considering that they were what, 8-4 last year, 9-3. They did worse than they did last season. Austin Reed, the starting quarterback, came back for another year. Very underwhelming season though. Western Kentucky finished the year ranked 17th in the country when it came to passing yards per game with around 287.9 per game. Austin Reed finished the year with 3,340 passing yards, 31 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. Ultimately, I mean, Old Dominion is, they're bad. They're really bad, barely squeaking by with 6-6. I think they barely beat Georgia Tech in their last game to make it to the bowl game. This is one of those bowl games that are kind of just you put on just to watch. When it's a thing like the famous toastery, you know it's not a big bowl game. It's really just another game. This one, I think Western Kentucky is a, at the time I had them at a 2.5-point underdog, but I'm taking Western Kentucky easy on this one. I think Old Dominion is just one of those teams that just kind of squeak by and you don't really know how. So Western Kentucky easily on this one. Let's look at the next game. We have the Frisco Bowl, the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl, another random game with a random brand. Any game where you don't know the name of the company or the name of the brand sponsoring it, don't expect a big production. Don't expect anything crazy. Just expect a classic football game. This is one of those games that this one, probably the famous Toastery Bowl, even the LA Bowl, New Mexico Bowl. Most of these bowls that I'm talking about are games you really got to be a football fan to watch. And that's this one right here, UTSA at 8-4, Marshall at 6-6. Again, just like Old Dominion, Marshall barely squeaked by to make it to the bowl game. Compared to an 8-4 UTSA who looks very impressive for being just UTSA. Frank Harris threw 2,506 yards for UTSA this year, 18 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, averaging about 250 yards per game. Also had about 323 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns. So they have a quarterback who's very dual threat. It's one of those games, again, Marshall, I think you're sitting at UTSA at 13-point favorites. Unlike the Western Kentucky game where I feel like Western Kentucky was an underdog, I think it's very obvious that you're going to take UTSA on this one. Give them the points. This one should be another game that, like I said, if you got to be a real football fan to enjoy this game. The Boca Raton Bowl, the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl out in Boca Raton. Syracuse sitting at 6-6, and South Florida also sitting at 6-6. Syracuse is a 3-point underdog, and that's because despite being a big season for South Florida, it's their first year going bowling for the first time in 5 years. They won 6 games, barely. They did defeat a bowl-eligible team in Rice, unlike Syracuse, who won 6 games but did not beat any bowl-eligible teams. The only one-up I have, I think that Syracuse has over USF is the fact that USF has a god-awful defense. They're allowing about 35 points per game, and they finished 120th in the country out of only 130 teams when it comes to points per game allowed. They finished 70th in rushing defense and allowed about 300 yards passing per game. So Syracuse just really has to go out there and play some decent defense. I think USF, it's one of those things where, like, again, 42 bowl games, some teams are going to get in there that probably shouldn't. I think USF is one of those. So expect Syracuse to run away with that one and expect this to kind of be a snoozer. It's -3. I think Syracuse can easily run away, especially with, like I said, this god-awful defense. Syracuse has some weapons. I think USF is just a bad team. I think they're just a team that got into a bowl game that probably didn't deserve it. All right, and finally, the last game I want to talk about in the first part of the bowl selection show, which, like I said in the beginning of the episode, I'm breaking down into multiple parts instead of one long, boring episode. This will be the last game until the next episode. So the last game until next Friday, the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. Georgia Tech 6-6, UCF 6-6. UCF is a 4.5-point favorite. The only real key thing to look at when it comes to this game is transfer portal. Both teams are pretty bad. Again, one of those games where you're not really going to watch unless you really care about football. UCF is missing five key defensive players to the transfer portal, while Georgia Tech is missing an edge rusher and I believe a cornerback to the transfer portal. So not as much, but that also has something to do with the talent production. I think Georgia Tech just has minimal talent around them. 4.5 points is a low spread, in my opinion. I think UCF, while they're not great, they are a Big 12 team. They have that Big 12 talent, the recruiting class. And they still got a lot of momentum riding around them. I don't know. I'm trying to find a reason to basically say, give me UCF minus 4.5. And that is every game from Saturday to Friday the 22nd. And then next episode, we will start covering the 23rd, starting with the 76 Birmingham Bowl, and probably go all the way down to the Valero Bowl with the Holiday Bowl with Louisville and USC. So that's going to be the next episode. But for now, that is your first half of the games. Let's look at the fan responses before we finish this segment. Starting with the Myrtle Beach Bowl, I chose Georgia Southern. You guys, 66% of y'all have Ohio winning this one. Looks like y'all chose the percentage and the record over, you know, actually looking at the team, which is fair, which is like a reason I did this poll. FAMU over Howard, 83% of y'all have FAMU beating Howard with me. Jacksonville State over Louisville, Louisiana, 100% of y'all, everybody agrees with me on this one. Jacksonville State should run away with that. Avocado from Mexico Cura Bowl, it looks like 66% of y'all have Appalachian State winning this one. Miami of Ohio at 8-5. Like I said, took Miami of Ohio. I believe I'm taking Appalachian on the points, but I believe Miami, Ohio. I'm taking Appalachian straight up, but Miami of Ohio on the points. The New Mexico Bowl, you guys chose the underdog. I'm sorry. No, y'all chose a favorite in New Mexico. 66% of y'all choosing New Mexico over Fresno State. The LA Bowl, not surprising. A lot of you guys chose a favorite with UCLA over Boise State. Considering that UCLA is the home team, that does not surprise me. The Radiance Technology Independence Bowl, Texas Tech-Cal. This is a dead split, 50-50, which is fair. The first game I see being a toss-up like this, Tech and Cal for a 50-50 split. The Toastery Bowl, a lot of you guys have Western Kentucky. 66% of y'all chose Western Kentucky over Old Dominion. And the Frisco Bowl, we have UTSA Marshall. Looks like 66% of y'all also chose UTSA. And then finally, Syracuse. No, not finally. 50-50 split on the Syracuse South Florida Boca Raton Bowl. And finally, the Gasparilla Bowl. It looks like 66% of y'all chose Georgia Tech. However, I think UCF will win that one. So, for the first little slate of games, we seem to all agree about the same. Obviously, like I said, these games are more of the games no one really cares about. The games that, you know, you really got to be a college football fan to watch. When you have sponsors like RoofClaim.com, Scooters Coffee, and Famous Toastery, it makes sense. You're not getting the Allstates or even the Quick Lanes or the Military Bowl, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, you know? So, yeah, that's going to be it for this first half. Let me kick it on over to my NFL predictions before we wrap up the episode for you guys. Come back next week, and we will have the second part of the bowl selection for you guys. Thank you guys, though. Don't forget to bet this weekend. Follow me. Follow us on social media. Let's kick it on over to myself, and let's get some NFL talk going for you guys. Alrighty, guys. Welcome to week 15 of the NFL season. Firstly, let's talk some NFL Texans. Let's talk some Houston Texans, some AFC South. CJ Stroud, concussion, is doubtful for this weekend's game against Tennessee. Nico Collins with the calf injury, also questionable for this weekend against Tennessee. If you look at that Tennessee-Houston game, you have, Will Levis versus Case Keenum? Will Levis versus whoever. I don't know who the starting quarterback will be. Davis Mills is QB2 right now. But like I said, Case Keenum could get the start with CJ Stroud being hurt. Will Levis this season is 8 touchdowns for 3 interceptions, 130 for 223 completions, and 1,500 yards. Devin Singletary has been taking the running back one snaps recently, getting 590 yards and 3 touchdowns with 141 carries. No Nico Collins, no C.J. Stroud, both being doubtful or out. Will Anderson Jr. is out. Blake Cashman, the linebacker, out. And like I said, Nico Collins, questionable. On the other end, you have no real big major injuries. Kyle Phillips, your receiver, out. You have a couple of defensive tackles out and some cornerback problems. Looking at the Texans, they are 3-for-2 in their last 5 compared to 2-3 with Tennessee. This game is a must win for both, considering that, or at least for Houston more than Tennessee. Houston still has a chance to win the AFC South if they can win out. It's a big ask for Houston. They do play Tennessee again in 2 weeks, so I could see Houston resting everybody, coming back, winning that Week 17 matchup, and then hopefully clutching a playoff wild card spot, or even, hey, maybe they win the South. Who knows? Looking at the NFC South, I've talked about that shit show of a division. I believe the Buccaneers are currently number one in the South. Yes, the Buccaneers are currently number one, but it's a three-way tie. 6-7 from the Buccaneers, the Falcons, and the Saints. The only team currently eliminated from the South, from anything really, is the Panthers, who are sitting at 1-12. The 49ers have officially clinched a playoff berth with a 10-3 record. I think they are the only team to clinch a playoff berth this season. The only other team to be eliminated from playoffs is the New England Patriots with a 3-10 record, and possibly coach firing. We don't know what's going to go on there. This week, Week 15, let me give you 3 games to look at before we wrap up this episode. 3 games that I am the most interested in, and that's going to be Sunday night with the Ravens and the Jaguars. Ravens are 10-3. They're hot. That offense is starting to click. That defense is scary. The Jaguars are on potential fraud alert, so let's see what happens there. Fraud alert. Let's watch out for the Jaguars. As a Texans fan, I would love to see them lose. I would love to see the Ravens clinch one. However, I think the home field advantage, you're in Duval at night, primetime. Don't know what could happen there. I think the Jaguars are probably underdogs, but give me the Jaguars on that one. The second game I want to look at for this week is going to be a interesting matchup, to say the least. It's a Saturday night matchup. We have 3 of them. The Broncos and Lions. The Lions, kind of like the Jaguars, on fraud watch. 9-4 in the last 5 games. They are 3-2. A loss coming last week, 28-13 to the Bears. A win would probably clinch them playoff spot. The Broncos are sitting at 4-1 in their last 5, only loss coming to Houston in that 22-17 loss 2 weeks ago. Big wins over Buffalo, Minnesota, and Cleveland, though. The Broncos are hot. I think this win will keep the momentum going, possibly clinch them a playoff spot with a win here and probably a win next week. So that's another big one. Detroit is a 4.5-point favorite. On that Jaguar game, Baltimore is a 3.5-point favorite. So taking Jacksonville would be the underdog, and I think a smart choice. Finally, the third last game I want to talk about for the NFL Week 15 is going to be coming out of Buffalo. It's going to be the Bills and the Cowboys. The Cowboys, who I had on fraud watch for a long time, finally clinch a win against a real team in the Eagles, and an impressive win, let me just say that. However, currently sitting at 5-0 in the last 5 compared to Buffalo, who is sitting at 2-3 in their last 5. Big wins, though, coming from Kansas City, that close overtime loss to Philadelphia the week before that, and then the other 2 losses were by less than one possession. Embarrassing. Should turn off my notifications. Less than one possession. So I don't know. Buffalo looks bad. Maybe their record doesn't show how good they are. Maybe it's worse than how they. You know what I'm trying to say here. All right. And then, I don't know, Dallas, I want to keep hating on them. Obviously, it's just fun to hate on Dallas. But they have that big win against Philadelphia. I think a win against Buffalo, especially back-to-back big wins, I think it'll probably cement them into being legit. So keep an eye out on that. But yeah, that's it. That's my three for the weekend. Real quick, back in to back up. I have the Lions over the Broncos. I have the Jaguars over the Ravens and the Bills over the Cowboys. Those are going to be my three for the week. One underdog in the Jaguars. But the Buffalo Bills are 3-point favorites and the Lions are 4.5-point favorites. That's it, guys. That's all I have. I could yap on for days, but yeah, next week we will get into the second round of bowl games, the next weekend of bowl games. This is when we get good games, in my opinion. I finished with our pick back up where I finished, which will be Saturday, Troy Duke, the Birmingham Bowl, and then we'll go all the way to Louisville, USC, the Holiday Bowl. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, to follow me on Twitter at Podcast Kev, where you can find all my tweets, my rants, my takes, and all that. Follow me on Instagram, where you can just see literally any sports news ever. I post about 50 times a day on my story. I keep you guys updated on everything you guys need to know. Don't forget to do the poll, share the chair with your friends. I'm going to keep it out, keep it going for the next few weeks, and just get more opinions. Let's see what happens there.
Playoffs.
Yeah, follow us on Facebook as well. Playoffs. Thank you guys. See you guys next week and enjoy the bowl game. Have a good one.
Kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.